This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everyone from around the world, and thanks for joining us on another great episode of Baseball Outside the Box, the show that brings you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo. I am your host, Pete Caliendo. We are so thrilled you're joining us today. First of all, a special thank you to the Lineup Media Group for hosting our podcast. Go to lineupmediagroup.fm. They are the fastest growing podcast business anywhere. Check them out. They got so many great shows. And don't forget, our show is free, so do us a favor. Go to baseballoutsidethebox.com. If you're a new listener, please join. Go to iTunes and Stitcher, and you'll get updates all the time on the brand new shows that we have. If you're a current listener and a loyal one, thank you very much. You guys have been great. You're keeping the show going. Please get the show out, and we appreciate it. If you can go to iTunes and Stitcher, you can give us a rating there. If you really love the show, give us a five-star rating. We'd appreciate it. You can also give us feedback. You can always feedback by emailing me at info@baseballoutsidethebox. Give me feedback about the show. We will improve on every feedback you give us because we just want to make the show better for you. And follow us on social media. We are everywhere at Twitter at Baseball Out and Facebook. We are at Baseball Outside the Box. Take the social media forward to everybody that you know. That really helps us, and we'd appreciate it. Check out all the great information that we have on social media because a lot of it's educational. Most of it is educational. So we are thrilled that you're joining us today. We have a great topic for you. We continue on the path of, you know, the performance of vision simply because that's where it all begins. We think our coaches need to really understand that aspect of it in order to teach the hitting, the fielding, you know, the throwing, everything, because that's where it all begins, and we think that's important. So the topic today is going to be the visual psychology, the answer to performing, and also we're going to discuss the concept of open focus. You're going to love this. Our guest, Tony Abatine, he's definitely an outside-the-box thinker. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, then we'll get the show going. Tony's an author of numerous articles on player development, has been featured in Sports Illustrated, Newsweek, ESPN, USA Today, the New York Times, and the Washington Post, along with Baseball America, and he's been all over television. He's considered one of the leading experts in baseball and softball, which makes him unique around the world, that he can integrate the physical, the mental, and the visual skills needed to perform at a high level. He is one of the most sought-out instructors. He has spoken all over the country at the ABCA, but also pretty much every you know, state high school convention. He's a consultant to player development for several Major League Baseball organizations, most recently the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Colorado Rockies, and New York Mets, and he's also presented the Frozen Ropes Visual Mechanics and Showtime, which is mental skills training modeled to the coaching staffs of a lot of the teams at spring training. So he's been with Major League players, he's been with young players. Since 1990, numerous Major League players have refined their skills in the offseason under Tony's watchful eye. Recently, vision training workshops he's conducted with the NCAA Division I softball powerhouses, University of Florida, and Hofstra University. He's also accepted a teaching position at St. Thomas Aquinas College in Rockland County, New York, and he's going to be, and currently is, because he accepted this in 2017, an adjunct professor. He's teaching sports psychology at the undergraduate level. Currently overseeing the mental and visual skills for Team USA softball as they prepare for the 2020 Olympics. What a great job there. Abatine has worked with numerous college and professional teams in this area with an emphasis on integrating the visual component to traditional sports psychology. Now you can reach Tony at tonyabatine.com. That's A-B-B-A-T-I-N-E. Check him out. He also is the owner of frozenropes.com, many indoor facilities around the country. He's on Twitter at Tony Abatine. Great stuff. I follow him on Twitter. Love it. So we will get to talking to Tony, and we want to welcome Tony to the show. Let's welcome Tony Abatine to Baseball Outside the Box. Tony, how are you, man?
Peter, good to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Great to have you on the show. Really appreciate it. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be a fantastic topic. you know, because, everything I read about you is you're an outside the box thinker. And I know you brought that up before. And, you know, we mentioned in the intro about the topic of the show and everything. So I just want to get right into it. Let's get rock and roll and get as much as we can, because I want our audience out there to hear from you as much as possible. All the great information that you have. A lot of the details that we're going to talk about will be some questions from your article with the ABCA that you had in there. So I think that's going to be a great. It was in 2018 in collegiate baseball. So I think that'll be a great thing to start with. So let's do this. You talked about, visual psychology, the answer to performing, okay? Discussing the concept of open focus. Let's begin with that, and then we'll rock and roll from there.
Yep. Well, again, just really almost as a starting point, Peter, visual psychology. I think when people hear that for the first time, well, what exactly is that? And I can tell you that as a traditional sports psychologist, I've been doing, I call it the mainstream sports psychology, for over 15 years. I teach sports psychology at a university in New York. And to me, I always felt that there was something missing to an extent, especially when you're working with athletes. And as I started doing research, both in athletic performance and outside the sports industry, I started realizing that the visual component of how the brain works, maybe that was a better way or a better starting point with athletes. So think about visual psychology, and this is how I describe it to my students and even some of the athletes. Visual psychology is traditional sports psychology on steroids. You're basically taking the standard traditional sports psych concepts that deal with worry and self-doubt and fear and anxiety and confidence and self-esteem and visualization and affirmations and goal setting and process versus result thinking, and going to the front of the brain. And by the front of the brain, I mean the following. The eyes are the only external part of the brain. So it dawned on me about 5 years ago, why don't we spend more time talking about the front of the brain than the back of the brain, where our thought system is. Mm. And with that, it introduced me to this concept of open focus, which this is something that has been around for probably since the 1950s. A doctor named Dr. Les Femi, a renowned neuroscience and psychologist from Princeton, was the first one that tabbed this topic. If you go and Google it, because these days it's all about Googling and finding things out, you'll find out that open focus is, for the most part, is a system for normalizing the mind and body function by practicing what's called flexible attention. And to segue it into reality, and not to bore your listeners with science stuff, I think the best definition of open focus was from Manny Ramirez, who at the time was playing for the Boston Red Sox. Him not knowing about open focus, started talking about hitting and what he was doing visually when things were going well. And right out of his own mouth, Tony, when I look at nothing, I see everything.
Wow.
And I remember the first time he said that in spring training, my first thought was, well, this was Manny being Manny. He's either brilliant or crazy. And as I started researching open focus theory and talking to behavioral optometrists and people that were really understanding the whole connection between what we look at affects how we see, Manny was right. Right? Open focus is really a commitment back to non-judgmental seeing. It's what great hitters do, Peter, during the times in which things are going well. They're not over-focused on the ball. They're not looking at this magic window that mistakenly I taught for years upon end. They're not soft focusing and fine focusing. They're not changing gears in the middle of battle. What Manny was describing and what Dr. Femi was using in neurofeedback and dealing with all kinds of ailments, this open focus is really something that I thought you could teach it. And it was something that most major league hitters, when they talk about when things are going well, they were describing.
Wow. Now, if you're working, you're talking about open focus. So if you're working with a hitter, let's just use that example, because I know you work with a lot of hitters, but you work with athletes of all skills you work with. Talk about when you say open focus, how would you start to present that to a hitter? Because remember, you mentioned the traditional style that's being taught, has been taught for a long time. and that is, you know, to soft focus to hard focus. You know, this is a different concept. So how do you approach the hitter on this? How do you, well, especially young kids?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. The younger they are, the more they understand that the freedom and really the way in which the human visual system wants to be more efficient. And I'll actually use, and it's a phrase some of my students laugh at me, and I bring it to spring training for presentation, sunsets, mountains, and oceans. And I'll ask the player/hitter, hey, pick one of those images that you find particularly appeasing, something that you find extremely enjoyable to think about and to look at. And again, taking it back to Peter, if you were sitting on in the beach or sitting in the mountains, right, or watching the sunset, what would your eyes be doing at that point? Well, let me answer it for you without jumping. Okay, they would be doing nothing. Okay, they would be sweeping and scanning. And again, those are terms right out of the visual eye system. Right, our eyes work two ways. They're either sweeping and scanning, what's called these smooth pursuits, or you have these saccadic movements that are kind of a dot-to-dot way of looking at things. Open focus, and back to our sunsets, mountains, and oceans, your eyes are looking at all these wonderful things at the same time, right? They're looking without any judgment. They're not fixating on anything in particular. So, for example, you might see the seagull that's flying 500 feet in front of you. At the same time, the waves are breaking to the right. You've got a sailboat to the left, and you've got the sun that's setting at about 12 o'clock in front of you. Open focus allows you to see all these different things at the same time, and it allows the eyes and eventually the brain to focus on things that are important at the given moment. And I say that again because it segues back to hitting again. People have asked me, well, wait a minute, Tony, you just want the hitters to just stare into space and magically wait for the ball to appear. No, what we're saying is that if you can start in open focus, you're going to, particularly at the higher level, you're going to be able to see more of the pre-pitch visual cues that hitters at every level are giving away, right? They're changing posture, they're changing hand position, they're changing gloves, they're changing grip. The better hitters are getting information and clues way before the ball is thrown. And that happens while this is in ball flight. Obviously, once the hand comes up and ball flight is about to start, the brain and the eyes know at that point, well, what's really important now? Well, what's really important now is pick up the ball. But it's not this shifting action and this one then two, if you will, that so many hitters talk about. And we also know, Peter, that in open focus, that the harder you look at something, the less you see. Well, in open focus, we're trying to get hitters, the less you stare or focus at something, the more you're going to be able to not only watch it move, but you're going to be in a better position to see where it's going. And that's really what good hitters do. They're not concerned about where the ball is. They're concerned about where the ball is going. And so that initial sunset, mountains, and oceans gets hitters to understand, when I'm standing there, you know, waiting for that pitcher's delivery, can I imagine what it would feel like or see like if I had those three images?
Sure. And there's got to be a certain point, like, we don't want to watch the ball out of the hand. We want to watch the ball. At a certain point, we have to pick the ball up. Is there a better point to pick that ball up, or is it a later point? Where are we trying to pick that up at?
Well, again, you listen to all of the pitching information and the pitchers that hide the ball well. Now in Major League Baseball, you have the better hitters keep the ball in this tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
This 10-foot imaginary line that the better hitters, or excuse me, pitchers, you look at Kershaw, for example, right? One of the reasons why people say, and hitters say, he's so effective is that any ball that he throws, ball flight for all of them looks exactly the same in that first 10 feet of what I call the initial tunnel that's going on there. So yeah, if a hitter overstares at the hand or makes the hand the primary attention getter when the ball is about ready to come out, therein begins the problem where hitters are visually late. As in, the ball comes out, you're talking about speeds of 90 miles an hour. We've all seen the graph that basically say good hitters have less than a half a second to see it, read it, and then which means their judgment line, right? The time in which they've got to start their swing is about at the halfway point. Well, if they've been caught on the hand, or if the ball comes out and their visual field, the box in which we all look through, is caught slightly behind the ball, I just described the 220 hitter, Peter. That's the hitter that sees more of where the ball has been and less of where the ball is going. And when good hitters talk about great performances or they're doing well, go no further than watch ESPN tonight when hitters are doing well. I'm seeing the ball really good today. The ball looks very big today. Everything's in slow motion. What they're really describing, A, is open focus and their ability to position themselves to see more of where the ball is going so that their eye lines are basically funneling in where that ball is coming to.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, I was just thinking when you said, you know, that 20 hitter, I guess you were talking about me because I remember I was better off. I'd rather they threw me a changeup because I could hit the slower stuff. You know, because I didn't pick it up very well.
Well, and Peter, you know what, like a lot of other good, you know, 220, 230 hitters, and this is the paradox. Focus harder, see the ball, see the ball, see the ball, see the ball out of the hand. Think about a lot of the teaching cues that, and I'll put my hand up before I understood that less was better in these visual search strategies. Think about all of the best of intention information that you were given while you were playing. Watch the ball out of the hand, okay? You know, see the ball. When hitters struggle, there's a strong correlation. The more you struggle, the less you want to see the ball. Well, open focus brings you the other way. I'm not going to overcommit on seeing the ball because the harder I look at something, my visual field gets narrower, it gets tighter, it's not as flexible. And now I'm in the world of these saccadic jumping dot by dot movements instead of letting the eyes have these smooth pursuits, which they're more naturally inclined to do.
All right, Tony. So two quick questions. I think they might match a little bit. Where does this begin? So in other words, when do you start training for this? And is it too late at a certain point? In other words, if I'm 22 and I start to understand this, or if I'm 10, is it better at 10 years old understanding? Does it make a difference?
Well, it's interesting. The whole interplay with visual psychology, right? Getting five-year-olds, and I like starting with five-year-olds.
Awesome.
You know, the luxury I have with these laboratories around the country in San Diego, in Texas, right? I'm based in New York. You know, we get an opportunity with our staff to, hey, does this work with a five-year-old? And then we bring in the high school kid, and then we present it to some of the older players. But when you start talking about open focus and teaching young hitters how to relax, getting them to understand that the hand is not the primary focus level, that learning how to get slightly in front of a ball, being aggressive, we call it jump the tracks. And that's a term, that's a teaching term that we use that 10-year-olds understand. That tracking of the ball is important, but you want to jump the tracks. You want to have this, what I call this anticipatory movement with your eyes to be able to see it. And I also think that if you're developing young hitters, what if you started with, you know what, if we can get them to see the ball sooner, longer, and clearer. And that's really the trilogy of any good hitter. If I can see it longer, clearer, and on the front of it, start picking it up when it comes out of that tunnel, that's a good thing for every hitter. And so, yeah, we'll take very simple hitting drills. We'll use the ball hit drill, for example. We'll at times, from center toss, take a ball, ask the coach to at times throw the ball, other times not throw it, and ask the hitter that as soon as they see a separation of ball and hand, as soon as they see the ball come out, they're going to say the word ball. So what we're trying to get them to do is not guess or not stay so locked in on the hand that they miss the most important part of the delivery, and that's the ball itself. And you'd be surprised, Peter, how many major league players, professional hitters, right? They'll struggle with this because as soon as they see the hand come up, they're yelling ball. They don't really understand that, you know what, the hand and the arm simply transmit the ball and is the vehicle to bring the ball forward. By just asking them to say the word ball when it's truly out, you're starting to get them to understand that forget the hand, I don't want to get caught deep. I don't want to get caught late. I'm convinced that most swings that are late, I mean, how many times have we heard hitting coaches talk about, hey, you're late? Well, guess what? You might be able to fix you're late with, I'm going to be early and aggressive and front side track this thing coming out of the hand, so I'm in a better position to be ready to hit. And that's something that many times becomes a dialogue. My role, whether it's with the USA national team or even in spring training, I tell people all the time, you know what, there's no holy grail or magic bullet in this thing. My biggest thing is having a dialogue and just asking hitters sometimes, hey, tell me what you're doing from the minute the pitcher presents himself to ball flight. And that's really the beginning of it. And when you get so many professional hitters say, well, I don't really know. And we know a lot of this, particularly the visual component, is done sometimes at a subconscious level, that hitters are doing it and they don't even realize what their search strategies are. Or some, particularly in the minor leagues, will talk about the bill of the cap. They'll talk about the chest. They'll start describing this bifurcated, this one and two, soft focus, fine focus, that major league, really good major league hitters aren't really doing. And so, yeah, first getting them to realize there's no right or wrong answer here, but the key is for you to start learning how to be in this open focus and learn to be seeing more of the pitcher and the entire pitcher as compared to being fixated on one part. But to answer your question, I think the sooner you get this open focus component, the sooner you make pitch recognition a priority at the amateur level. I think what happens many times, though, there's an insecurity level. The college players that I talk to, they still want to talk about launch angles and bat speed and sequencing.
Of course.
And all of the stuff that makes them have a good swing. Well, Peter, we know that having a good swing has nothing to do with hitting. And so this topic sometimes is better served with guys that are in AA or AAA that are on the verge of making a living doing this. Their athleticism, their bat speed is just as good as the guys that you watch on TV. But they're now ready for something else. You know, the classic example, right? The teacher arrives when the student is ready. And I so believe that. If a hitter in particular isn't ready to understand that 99% of their performance is visually mental, then they're not ready for this. Okay. You'll have to dummy it down to an extent and stay straight, traditional sports psych, or really bring it down to a level and start with, you know, getting them to understand about ball flight and where the judgment line is. Those are things that the players could understand, but I get frustrated. And I know coaches get frustrated when they'll spend all this time talking about hitting mechanics. And I go to conventions all the time and I'm always the one that the other coaches defer to and say, hey, we're going to give you the mechanics of the swing, but everybody here, all the hitting coaches would agree that pitch recognition and the timing of the swing is everything. Well, if pitch recognition and timing is everything, why don't we spend more time talking about that, Peter? But here's your answer, right? You teach what you know.
Exactly. And everybody wants to talk mechanics. And I know it's starting to change a little bit, Tony, but you know, what's interesting is that's why on the show, we're trying to bring this type of, these type of talks to the show, especially, you know, it seems like everything starts with vision. So why are we not training that? You know, why aren't we working on it more? That's why I love to bring this topic. Now, let me ask you, you gave one drill, and since we're on a drill, I want to stay on it. Okay. From that particular drill, cause I really love it. Cause it gets them I mean, it's interesting, too, because it keeps a kid interested, even if he's 6, 7 years old. It keeps him focused on what he's doing. What would be the next drill, just for our audience? Give us a couple more where the next couple things the coaches can do with their kids. And I know it's not always one drill that works for everybody.
I can certainly, and with the help of my friend Manny Ramirez, and I bring Manny up. I spent 2 years with the Boston Red Sox doing consulting work in this area. Had an opportunity to meet Manny in spring training, developed a friendship. He came to New York in one of his off seasons, and we spent more time talking about this. And because of how great Manny Ramirez and so many good hitters, it's amazing that guys like that just want to get better. They're always looking to improve themselves over and over again. And getting back to your first point, Peter, before the drill, you know, so why isn't this talked about more? I don't think college programs and even Major League Baseball to an extent understand really what the topic is all about. When people talk about vision, right? I've walked into spring training and had players come over to me and say, hey, do you have any saline solution for my contact lenses? And I'll walk over to them and I'll say, that's not what I do. And they say, well, I thought you're the vision guy.
Yeah.
And you try to explain to them that you might have 20/20, or obviously 20/20 vision isn't exceptional. Most of the guys that you watch on TV from a prescription eyesight are probably 20/15, 20/10. Vision isn't what you see. It's how quickly you can take that information and understand and comprehend it. It's like speed reading. And I know we talked before
about speed
some
reading,
of the
sure.
research. Yeah, some of this information came from all of the research and clinical studies in speed reading. Well, speed reading isn't about how fast you can look at words. That's one part of it. But speed reading is based upon how quickly you can take these chunks of information and comprehend it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big difference. I think people that don't really understand speed reading, well, let me see how quickly I can bring my eyes back and forth on the newspaper.
Yeah.
You just create workout for your eyes. But the ability to speed read, right, the ability to take vision, which is how quickly can I take this information, get it to the brain, and get it to the hand, I think that's the difference. And to Major League Baseball's credit, and even at the college level, I mean, they're trying. You've got the, you know, I see a lot of the, I don't want to call them toys or gimmicks, that wouldn't be right, but a lot of the vision training, some of the software, these video games that mm-hmm. support to make you a better hitter. I know you and I have talked about that previously. I have seen no research that indicates that getting better at a video game, sitting down in a calming environment, it has anything to do with translating on hitting and being able to recognize breaking balls and deal with all of the other visual challenges of a game. And,
well, you know,
and the same thing. Yep.
No, I was going to say, Tony, what was interesting, and we'll, you know, I want to stay on this because what we'll do is we'll jump back to the drills towards the end.
Yeah.
What was interesting is when you mentioned about the scanning, you know, the busier I got, I remember every morning I read the newspaper. Well, I don't read the whole paper. I scan through the paragraphs right. and understand the article. So I'm getting where you're saying. And you also mentioned in your article that you studied marksmanship and not only speed reading, but fighter pilots.
Well, again, I mentioned the term jump the tracks before.
Right? Yep.
When most of your readers might not have ever gone hunting, shot a rifle or whatnot, but whether it's the marksman or even a fighter pilot that's moving that has to predict time to collision, they have to have tremendous anticipatory tracking skills. They have to jump the track. A guy that's trying to shoot a bird or a duck or anything that's moving, right? You look at snipers, they have to make all kinds of calculations in the way of wind and sun and so forth. They're predicting where that rifle or where the bullet in this example has to be. And so your example of, yeah, speed reading is an example of you learning how to take information in quickly, and mm-hmm. you've made a decision there. Instead of having your eyes go into this one, then two, then three, having these slow and structured saccadic movements, okay, as compared to you as a speed reader, as a better hitter, having these smooth pursuits where your eyes are not only moving quicker, but they can be taking in information at the same time. And I think that's where it's getting exciting. I know a lot of my work with the national team is just, guys, this information is here. This is the last piece of the puzzle for so many great hitters that if we can somehow, think about it, Peter, if we can somehow get that hitter at the higher levels to actually read break, read trajectory, okay, or be a better estimate of time to collision. I keep using that term because there's so much research on estimating time to collision and visual search strategies and scan paths, right?
Hmm.
This is all information now that's finally getting into baseball, that you get a little bit better at this. All of a sudden now you're getting hitters starting to pick up and either stop their swing or having better barrel control. If you get 1/100th of a second better, think about this. You get 1/100th of a second better in recognizing and predicting ball flight.
Wow.
You bought yourself about 6 to 8 inches.
Wow. Yeah.
Of spine in that 60 foot 6 inches. You think you'd be better, Peter? You think you'd be a better hitter if 12 inches before that break started breaking, you knew it was starting to change direction?
Absolutely. Are you kidding?
Right.
I could have used that information. Speaking of information, you also mentioned that, you know, we both spent time in Japan, and I didn't even know this. You said that Japanese are pretty good at advanced calculus, which factors into all this.
Unbelievable. I spent 2 years in Yokohama watching and training. There were some American athletes that were there. And you're right. You talk about what exactly is calculus, right? 8 times 7 divided by 4 times 3, whatever the formula might be. But the way in which the brain and the eyes have to process that information is quick. It's putting concepts together, and very quickly it's spitting out an answer. Isn't that what hitting is? We see all this information in a very quick period of time, and then we've got less than 4/10 of a second to calculate and determine where we're going to put the barrel of the bat. So you're exactly right. I wish there was enough studies done to say, hey, you know what? If we got kids that are studying AP calculus, or maybe instead of taking batting practice before games, let's bring in a calculus teacher to make us better. As crazy as that sounds, there's a commonality there. Okay.
Sure.
It's dynamic thinking, and it's very quickly, right, moving not only our eyes, because our eyes are constantly getting the next number that we have to process, get to the next number, getting to the next number. But I saw some of these Japanese players taking, you know, a 7 or 9 number formula, 7 times 6 divided by 3 times 4. And they're processing this information like they're a calculator.
But one thing I noticed about the Japanese, even in if you look at Major League Baseball, every Japanese hitter that's played in the big leagues has pretty much led baseball in pitches per at bat. So they foul a lot of pitches off. They make a lot of contact. They don't get fooled as often.
It'd be interesting to run the numbers statistically to see that. But I think you're right. Just anecdotally, the Japanese hitters that I've seen, yeah, you know what? Their pitch selection is pretty good. They go deep in the count.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is a correlation there, but
sure.
You know, your question about, and this gets back to Manny and some of the drills that we did with him. We love the eyes closed drill, Peter, where we'll take a hitter, and again, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, whoever it might be, and again, in center toss, we'll put a ball in flight. The coach will be told when the ball gets halfway there, say the word ball, and at that point, that's the cue for the hitter to open up his or her eyes. And what we've learned with that is that the hitter, as he or she's opening up her eyes, she very quickly has to scan and sweep the front of where the ball is coming from to pick up the ball very quickly. Okay.
Wow.
It's a challenging drill.
Sure.
But when we start adding some of this challenge, I like it because it gets away from the mechanics of the swing. It's forcing hitters to make decisions a little bit quicker in practice. And think about it. If somebody can come up with any correlation between guys that are really good in batting practice or good in the tunnel and performances in the game, there's always that drop off. There's always that, I call it the cavern, right? It's the 5 o'clock hitters, as baseball talks about it. Well, if we can make in our pregame, in our preseason, and even in the offseason, make the challenge of picking up that ball a little bit more difficult or more game speed, you've got yourself a better chance of having that swing, which we all know is important in pregame, actually show up and become a good hitter by a drill, I think. We'll do the other thing. Manny actually introduced us. He saw that drill. He said, hey, what about doing it this way? He would turn his head and look backwards. So here he is getting ready to take BP, right? And he simply would turn his head and look behind him where the catcher and umpire would be.
Wow.
At that point, he would say, all right, Tony, toss me the ball. And when it's halfway there, say ball, and I'm going to turn around. And in one movement, I'm going to find it and drop the barrel of the bat. And again, you know, what does that do, Peter? Boy, you know what? You better have tremendous trust in your swing because you don't have time to be thinking about your swing at that point. Once you turn around, right, you've got to, it's not about fine focus, soft focus anymore. It's, I've got to find this thing because it's in flight. Mm. That's where challenging some of these hitters, we've seen better prepares them for the realities of the game itself as it relates to speed of ball.
Absolutely. So we, and older guys can do that in batting practice, and some of the younger kids, you can do that in front toss.
Without a doubt, you certainly can do that, right? I know, you know, the whole, how about the use of the tee? I know the tee certainly is a big component. I'm not so convinced that putting a ball on a stick that's not moving has anything to do with teaching pitch recognition and timing. We've added a piece of that, and we've shared it with college programs and professional teams. We always like to have a pitcher's delivery in front of that tee. So, for example, we'll have a pitcher, and if you really, you talk about practice efficiency, so many of these high school and college programs don't have, you know, 7 or 9 different coaches. You can have your pitching coach standing behind an L screen 10 feet away with a pitcher. You've got your hitter who's got a ball on a tee 10 feet in front of them, and you've now got the pitcher that's going to go through his full delivery and throw the ball right into the screen. So the ball is actually not getting to the hitter, but that hitter now has an opportunity, right, to practice his open focus. He's got an opportunity to practice his scan paths to the ball.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely.
He can actually time when he needs to start his swing because you've got a live pitcher that's there. We've done that in T-ball. We pleaded with Little League at times that, you know what, stop with this T-ball.
That was going to be my question. Yes. Thanks for addressing that. Would you start with that with T-ball or would you transition?
Absolutely. Peter, absolutely. This is where it came from. Okay. We started seeing kids coming out of T-ball and all they wanted to do was put their head down and look like a Ninja Turtle. Their posture was so bad because they spent 2 years staring at a ball on a stick straight in front of them.
That's outstanding.
All of a sudden now they're getting out of T-ball. And now they're realizing that the game is played 180 degrees that way, and their head positioning is so bad. So we went to all the little leagues around here and said, hey, let's take this to another level. I know you got to use the tee. We get that, okay? And at that level, you don't even need a protective screen. Now you've got the coach just pretending he's a pitcher.
Yeah.
And pretending he's throwing. And you know what? He'll actually take a ball and let the ball come out of his hand and just simply drop it. Once the little hitter on the tee sees that, he starts his swing and takes a swing.
Yeah, love now, it.
Yeah, now you're synchronizing the swing to the delivery. And now you're starting to develop these little five-year-olds so that when they're off the tee, they're starting to realize every move I make has to be made off the ball and the pitcher that's standing out there. And we've really seen the benefit of it at the college level and even at the professional level that all of the time in which hitters, because they're creatures of habit, want to go on a tee, we're pleading with them, stay on the tee, stay with the rituals that you have, but you know what? Let somebody stand 15 or 20 feet away and throw a ball into the net. And if the ball right out of the hand is not even close, being close to where you think it's going to be when it gets to the plate, take it. And if you believe that ball that's being thrown that is never going to get to you, but you're estimating and calculating that it will get to where the plate is, you're going to take a swing at it.
Tony, it makes so much sense because you're getting them to do this as early as possible. So you're starting to train them early. You said a key word, game related. I love that part. And the other thing I was going to ask you, once, if they get really good at this, the body will pretty much adjust to hit the baseball.
I mean, I don't want to talk about hitting mechanics maybe on another discussion, but sure. I can tell you, and people will ask me all the time, and obviously when I'm working with college programs and even at the professional level, no one gives a crap about my opinion of the swing and mechanics. That's not my world, okay? Right. But I can tell you that if hitting coaches spend more time on this, the visual component of this thing, the body has a tremendous way of following, that the eyes lead the body. The eyes are the windows of the soul. And it's amazing that with a lot of preparation work, if you just simply let the hips and the hands and all these moving parts flow and be, okay, and let the eyes lead the body, you would have much more efficient hitters going on. It would be, it's that effortless power versus powerless effort. Mike Epstein's favorite phrase many years ago, when you watch guys at the major league level, or even in college, you look at it and say, wow, that was just such an easy swing. Look at that ball jumped off his bat. Those are guys, Peter, their body and swing are on autopilot. Okay. There was no conscious thought to do anything. That their hours of preparation on the swing, it's locked in. That's my default setting. I am now going to allow my eyes to lead the swing. And again, you talk about a simple formula, the eyes, ball, barrel, body. And you talk about the order. Most people, when you talk about hitting low, you know what? We're going to start with the lower half.
Sure.
And we're going to have, and I've made it very simple. Guys, I'm here to tell you that the guys at the major league level, it's eyes, ball, the barrel makes a decision where time to collision is, and they're such great athletes that their body itself will fall into place, and that's when you see all of the backside rotation and the body work that's going on. But I truly believe the elite little leaguers, the elite major leaguers, the chronology, the order is eyes, ball, barrel, body. and it's not mechanics, hands, lower half, swing the bat. Oh, yeah, let's talk about vision then.
And, Tony, and once you get all this, because I want to get to the part where the travel of the baseball, as you mentioned, it's traveling.
Yep.
And there's a certain point where you're going to pick it up, and then there's a certain point where you're going to lose it, because I want the audience to understand where how this all factors in, why you're trying to get this done.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, and I refer back to the training and some of the research we did when Manny Ramirez was here. Right? Manny would close his eyes. We would put a line 15 feet in front of home plate. And we'd actually be throwing batting practice. We had a college coach come in and throw BP to him. And once he saw ball flight and that ball he was throwing went past that 20-foot line as it was coming toward him, he would close his eyes.
Wow.
Now you might say, well, why would you want hitters to close their eyes the last 15 feet or so? Well, let's bring in all our physicists, Peter, to explain that I call it the go zone, the judgment line. Major league hitters, right, and we'll just use 90 miles an hour, right? By the time the ball gets that close, they have already had to have made a decision. Am I swinging? And if I'm swinging, I got to play calculus now and determine where my bat needs to be. So they don't get the last 10 or 12 feet of information. They don't get a chance to process that. So if they never really get that in the game, why are we giving it to them in batting practice? This gets back to making hitters feel good versus actually developing hitters. So in the eyes closed, right, we call it, right, close them at the J line or the judgment line, it was amazing to see, and again, you're talking about Manny Ramirez, one of the best right-handed hitters, you know, in the last 30 years.
Sure.
He was unreal. He had a better swing, okay? He was able to square up balls just as effectively as if his eyes were open, because he's so well trained to, I need to pick it up soon. I need to know where the judgment line is to make a decision. And I got to play calculus and put my barrel out over there. He didn't miss a beat. His ability to hit it hard was no different when he started closing his eyes the last 10 or 12 feet. And again, here's the cool thing, Peter, go watch the pictures of major league hitters when they hit home runs. Someone sent me a shot of Stanton, the new outfielder for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And he hit two home runs the other day. Well, they're showing his swing. Okay. And what the person was trying to tell me, Tony, take a look at this. You'll like this. His barrel's right on the ball, but you know where his eyes were, Peter?
Out in front.
They were 15 feet out in front. He kept his eyes on the judgment line. He that's not something that Stanton learns, right? That's an example of, you know what? If I'm going to hit this thing really far, That's my collision point over there, and I've got to trust the barrel of the bat at that point. But you'll see so many pictures of major league hitters and really good college hitters, quite frankly, that their head is up, their eyes are out in front, and they've already made collision at that point. So this whole thing about see the ball into the catcher's glove. I know people would say, well, Tony, remember Pete Rose?
The first example.
How about John Mattingly? And he tracked the ball all the way. I said, that's great. I said, we applaud them for their style points. We applaud them for routine. And if it worked for them, great. But that had nothing to do, right, with their visual skills. By the time they started doing that, moving their head and tracking the ball, they already made a decision not to swing. It wasn't done at the critical point of what is it, where is it, and when is it going to arrive. So that had nothing to do with I need to see it all the way into the catcher's glove.
All right, Tony, we got a lot of young kids also, young players, I should say, to listen to the show. But you got parents, you've got coaches at different levels. So, you know, you hear all the time, you've got to see the pitcher early. You can't see him just when you get to home plate. What's your advice? Yep. So where does that all start for the hitters?
Well, that segues back into the preparation. I call it double vision. Good hitters, Peter, they have good visual skills, and they also have good visualization. And again, we're back into the traditional sports psychology. I think as a parent, as a little league coach, as an amateur coach, we need to give those coaches a little bit more ammo in this visual psychology. So in the example of, you know, you got to watch the pitcher, you're really watching the pitcher for a timing component. So by the time that young hitter leaves the batter's box, you know, he or she has timed herself at least three or four different times, right? She's starting to synchronize her swing to the pitcher. He knows that, you know what, this is someone who's maybe throwing from a low three-quarter arm slot or is way over the top or whatnot. Maybe they practice some of their routines. They've got some breathing that's going on. I call it mini meds. We teach a lot of our hitters to do a little quick meditation while they're there, visualizing a line drive. I mean, that's where you really can have some fun with a young hitter to say, hey, you know what, in the on-deck circle, make sure you're standing so that you're actually seeing the arm side of the pitcher to the extent that you can.
Instead of talking
to your buddies all the time, once your helmet goes on, that's your time to prepare. And let's see if you can get 4 to 5 real game takes in there, and then 1 or 2 times take a swing, okay? And at that point, they're better prepared to hit. Now the timing component happens to be there. We like telling young hitters at times, you know what, close your eyes in the on-deck circle. I love doing that. I'll go to a little league game, and I'll see one of the kids that I've talked to, and you'll see them in the on-deck circle. For 3 seconds, I'm going to close my eyes, which is a great way to relax the eyes, number one.
Wow.
B, it's a great reminder. I'm going to shut my eyes for a second, and I'm going to see this ball heading into the left center field gap, okay? I want my eyes and my thought process to be that. And you could certainly do that at the amateur level.
Absolutely.
Kids want more of that. I think the feedback that I get around the country is, hey, you know what? This is good information because we've got a generation of kids, Peter, that, you know what? They're stressed. Here's the other problem with when you talk about vision. You got all these young children. I see it at the college level. I see it in minor league baseball. They spend their whole day not in open focus, but in what?
Computers and iPads and iPhones.
Yeah, I call it slammed focus. Okay, they are looking 3 feet away. Okay, their eyes are slammed. There's no sweeping and scanning. There's no sunsets, mountains, or ocean. There's no smooth pursuits. There's nothing that resembles the visual search strategies that they're going to need to be able to hit at 7 o'clock. So it's even more of a challenge and more of a reason that the amateur and the professional coaches need to be talking about, you know, the whole visual part of this thing, because up until game time, their eyes are going in the wrong direction. And now you've got pregame to kind of fix and adjust it to get this crammed locking action that goes on when they're on Instagram and Twitter and whatnot. And now you're asking them very quickly to expand and have this sweeping and scanning action that they're going to need to hit a baseball. So yeah, it's more of a reason that these young kids need it now.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love the drills. I think they're game related. I think, boy, it's outstanding. I love even the on deck stuff, because that's interesting. That keeps kids interested. They're doing more things, but it's actually working on something. Now, this skill that we're talking about, because you talked about information overload also, I know, I remember, and the skill you're talking about, open focus, this could be used on defense, offense, different positions. Explain that.
Well, if you think about it, Peter, whether it's the outfielder who doesn't get a good jump, it's the shortstop that is just a tick late, you know, getting into the five hole. It's the catcher that just doesn't get the glove behind the back of the ball to have good receiving skills. You name whatever requires a very quick understanding and reading of anything in flight, open focus, and these topics can be tremendously helpful. I spend more time now, believe it or not, at the college level and even at the professional level working on defense. Because it's the same concept. You'll ask a shortstop or an outfielder, and it's always the same question that I ask. Tell me what you're doing from the minute that the pitcher starts his delivery to ball flight till you hear the ping or the crack of the bat. And so they're at least giving me their search strategies. I listen to it and look, this is great. I'd like to present to you some other ways in which you might be able to more effectively be in a position to see the ball coming in a different direction. And that's really the beginning of it. So many of them are either trying to watch the ball out of the pitcher's hand, are too fixated on the catcher's glove or the barrel of the bat.
Right.
The concept of, hey, if I really look harder into home plate, I'm going to be able to get a better jump on the ball. That's exactly the opposite of what they need to be doing. And it's amazing. I love working with the defenders because sometimes after one conversation, you'll have one of the coaches come over and say, hey, wait a minute. All of a sudden, that guy's getting a better jump on the ball, Tony. What outfield drill did you work on?
Yeah, what technique did you teach him?
And I said, nothing. I said, I taught him how to do nothing. I taught him how to look at nothing. I love using that answer, Peter, with coaches. They say, wait a minute. We're paying you to come in here, and you're telling our kids, and you're teaching them how to do nothing.
Don't do anything.
Right.
I love it.
It really is. And then I'll kind of wink at the player, and he'll walk over and talk to the coach and say, hey, coach, you know what? I think I can see the ball sooner. I've got better anticipation skills because of some of the stuff that Tony's talking about here. And again, this is information that most baseball players have never heard of. And so it's refreshing for them because it's different. And really, Peter, anytime, especially with baseball players, and this is why traditional psychology, I don't think it is the end all when you're working with athletes that have to make a living with their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It goes right to the heart of the problem. You want to start getting hitters, right, and just players in general, to really be able to have, you know, to deal with stress and worry and self-doubt. I call those the three evil sisters. Well, what if we got guys to not be as anxious, and if we were able to deal with confidence issues and worry issues by changing their visual perspective? Because I'll tell you what, I don't see too many people that are looking at sunsets, mountains, and oceans that need Ritalin or need to be medicated or are having anxiety attacks.
Sure.
And I mean that it almost in tongue in cheek, but you know what? I think once we use and say what we look at and how we look at it affects our thoughts and feelings, I think that's where the visual part of hitting and the visual part of the psychology becomes very effective. And it's not something hard for young coaches to understand, right? You look at the collegiate baseball article, and the response was great. I got calls from major league managers to little league coaches, and they all said the same thing. Wait a minute. This is, you're saying simple is better. You're saying that we should spend more time talking to the athletes about seeing the ball and how really seeing the ball is a decision and seeing is a feeling and how seeing affects our thoughts and feelings. Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to say. So I think if your audience understands and is willing to think outside the box, which they certainly should because that's the name of their show.
Yeah, that's right.
They've got to look at this thing and say, you know what, this could be a great teaching tool not only for my hitters, but for our pitchers or anyone that's out there. And I think there's enough information in the article to give some direction there. Most of this information I have on my website at frozenropesandtonyabatini.com. Mm-hmm. Right. I write a blog every other day called On the Verge. And so much of this information is on there. So this isn't about me selling product, Peter. My product is me. I don't have, at Frozen Ropes, we have DVDs that do this or that, but this is information that if a coach really wanted to get better at it, you got to do the hard work. You got to read about it. You got to understand it. You got to read it again. And go,
absolutely.
Go to the website, and if you're bright and if you care, you'll be able to pick up enough information to truly maybe make a difference with some of these hitters that we're going to see this season.
Yeah, and we tell our audience all the time, we got some great people that, you got to be a life learner. You got to constantly learn. We're going to put all the stuff, your social media, your website, all the information on our show notes. So we're going to get it to everybody because I think it's important. And the other thing that I liked, and we're coming down to the end, we got about 6-7 more minutes. And at the end, I'm going to open it up to you in case you want to mention anything that we didn't get a chance to talk about that was important. But one of the things I just want to say is, a lot of this information you just talked about at the end, especially with the infielders, kids, their minds get clogged up so much. This helps them relax a little bit, it sounds like. But also, it works hand in hand because if they're doing this, if they're doing the scanning when they're playing catch, if they're doing this scanning when they're in the infield position, it's going to help their hitting. It's going to help everything that they're doing in the game.
There's no doubt, right? Once young athletes become more aware, and that's really what it comes down to, Peter. Can you teach awareness? Can you teach visual awareness at the time in which the ball is in flight? What you should be doing, what your eyes want to do. There's no question, and we know it is well documented that our eyes were built to scan and sweep and to be open and to be looking out horizontally. Whether you believe that there is a man upstairs or evolution, that's how anatomically the eyes were developed for human beings. They were not developed to fixate the amount of young people that 15 years from now are going to have all kinds of vision problems, right? I saw a study a few years ago that 40% or so of the children today will be nearsighted because of the iPhone and the 3-foot staring that goes on. And we've got all kinds of posture problems that are going now in this country because children and adults, we're just as bad, some of us, right? We've got this hunched over look all the time, and our eyes are always being cramped. So you're right. Get outside. I mean, there's just being outside and talking about open focus. I took a Little League team out the other day, and the coaches were ready for, all right, Tony's going to talk about hitting. And they were ready for me to talk about, I don't know, the grip or the swing or launch angles. And I said, all right, we're just going to sit here and we're going to watch the sunset and we're going to watch seagulls and we're going to see the trees from about 300 feet away. We're going to see the top of the trees go back and forth. And I want you guys to actually paint or touch every little leaf that you see from these trees that were 500 feet away. And the coach says, Tony, that's what hitting's about. I said, absolutely. I said, that's the beginning of making, seeing and being aware visually where these young hitters are. That's the beginning of something special. All the other stuff is the easy part.
Yeah, that's outstanding. All right, man, listen, we have a couple more minutes. Is there, obviously we talked about a lot of stuff. I've got like 3 pages of notes here, which and then what I do is I always go through the show again to get, because that way I can get more notes and learn more even by listening to the show. Is there something that you really wanted to mention that we didn't get a chance to bring up to all our coaches and players and parents around the world? It's your time right now for about a couple minutes.
Well, I mean, Peter, we hit almost all of the main components of this. And again, this is more advice than anything else. This is a different way of teaching hitting. Certainly at the major league level, this is an audience. It's a much more attractive audience because they're not at that point. These athletes are not looking for more swing and mechanical information, right?
Sure.
I just love to see at the amateur level, right? Most of my time is spent, you know, college, professional, but we've got locations around the country. And to me, I want to be helpful for the next generation of really good baseball players. You look no further. Baseball is down in this country, right? Enrollment is down. And I think one of
Absolutely.
The issues, you know, kids have fun when they hit, you know, and I go to these coaching clinics and I listen to, you got to have fun and you got to teach fun. Well, you know how kids have fun? They have fun by putting a ball in play and knocking the snot out of it.
Yeah.
That's how fun. So we can stop with the fun professors telling kids, hey, you know what? You're 0 for April. You haven't put a ball in play, but continue to have fun. To me, if we want to keep kids playing baseball at the youth level, right, we got to give them the visual skills of a hawk. We got to get them to understand that if I can put a ball in play at the youth level, it's a double. I say that all the time, right? You get a ball in play at the Little League level, it's probably a double. You hit it pretty good, it's going to be a home run. That's
yep.
what we need to do. And if we spent more time and with some substance and see the ball hit the ball, there was a famous visual scientist many years ago named Ted Williams. He talked about see the ball, hit the ball. Everybody laughed at him. Well, what does that mean? Yeah, that's good, Ted, but what does that mean? Well, I think we need to go back to that. This isn't new school. I know I'm constantly being put in the category of, geez, Tony's out there, man. He's a new school. He's a professor. This is old school. This gets back to, right, can we stop with all this video analysis that I think sometimes has made the kids swing in this country so segregated and isolated? Why don't we get back to rhythm and teach the game from the inside out, as in let's make seeing the ball and putting the ball in play and learning how to control our eyes and our barrel. That's really what it comes down to. Can we control the eye, barrel of the bat? And I think Little League at the Little League level would be so much better. You see these kids that are getting up there, Peter, right? They've got their hitting coaches. They've got their mom. They've got their dad. Right, the dad is showing them a hitting video of somebody from Iowa on YouTube, and you've got this 10-year-old that has 57 different mechanical concepts in his head compared to, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in the on-deck circle and close your eyes and think of your favorite chocolate or superhero. When you come out, I want you to take a DEVI, which is our teaching term for deep exaggerated breath, and once you get to the plate, right, I want you to think of sunsets, mountains, and oceans, all right? And that'll probably put a smile on your face, little boy. And then you know what? At that point, your body will figure it out. How about that for hitting advice?
Oh, that's awesome. And I'll tell you what, excellent advice to our people everywhere around the world. And again, I can't wait to listen to the show again, because a lot of times you don't hear everything as you're doing the show. What I love now is, you know, our audience, please, you got to go to a couple of websites. First of all, go to Tony's website, tonyabatine.com. That's ABBATINE.com. Also, his Twitter. Matter of fact, I've got it on right here. His Twitter's at Tony Abatine. I'm looking at some of the things he's got on Twitter. Great stuff. I'm just going down here. Took some notes. So don't forget, Tony, listen, this has been outstanding. I mean, it really has been a great show. I really want to thank you because I know you're extremely busy. This is a show not only that loves the outside-the-box thinkers, but we also believe in bringing, educating the younger coaches, because we feel that's the foundation of the sport. We said it over and over on the show. Our audience knows that. So I want to thank you for being on the show, and hopefully we'll get you back on, because we're going to have another series of this, because I don't have many people who come back twice.
Peter, thank you very much, and you just keep modeling the way and keep challenging this dinosaur industry.
All right. Thank you, Tony. And folks, hopefully, you know, I don't know, I got 3-4 pages of notes here. Hopefully you did. Again, tonyabatine.com. Go to the website and his Twitter, Tony Abatine. Check it out. We'll have everything that we talked about on the show notes. Thank you to our loyal listeners. Thank you to our new listeners. We love you. You keep the show going. Don't forget to check out our Twitter. We'll also follow. We're following Tony, too. Check our Twitter at Baseball Out. We've got some good information on there. And also our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com. We're on Facebook, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Forward that to as many people as you can. get them to join the show. If they join the show, the more people we get on, the more people get a chance to know about the show. We're just trying to spread the great word and great people that we have on the show. Our email, info@baseballoutsidethebox. Email me anytime. We'll help you in any way I can. I will email you back right away. And again, special thank you to the Lineup Media Group. Special thanks to Tony Abbottin for being on the show. And remember, coaches' education is the key to keep to building the foundation of our sport. So keep getting smarter by listening to the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds with innovative thoughts that love the challenge of status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Have a great coaching day, and we will see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.